Fitzhugh was deeply immersed in, and in fact reverential towards, Southern society. He was born in Virginia in 1806 to a family of no special prominence. His father was not in bad financial straits. He was a physician. And in fact, he had sufficient capital to buy a plantation early in Fitzhugh's life. But they had to sell the plantation in the 1820s. So in a sense, Fitzhugh's family is of the dying gentry of the South. He sporadically attended field schools, which were small one-room schools that were oftentimes built in abandoned fields, usually funded by communities, sometimes by wealthy individuals within those communities, but one-room schools, and he attended these sporadically. They tended to meet for shorter periods of time because they had to accommodate planting and harvesting and the like. Largely, he was self-educated. His occupational life was never settled. After he finished his education and moved on, he was an attorney who served various positions in Buchanan's Justice Department. He was associated with the Treasury of the Confederacy during the Civil War. And after the Civil War, for a brief period of time, and this is going to seem incongruous because it is, he served in the Freedmen's Bureau, which was established under Reconstruction. He left that in 1866. His major prominence came from writing. He wrote newspaper pieces, magazine pieces, pamphlets, and two books of significance. He died in Texas in 1881, having gone to live there with one of his children. And he left the South just one time in his life, in 1855, to go to Boston to give lectures on his theories. Now, these theories were elaborated on in a pamphlet called Slavery Justified, and two books, Sociology for the South, which was published in 1854, and Cannibals All, which was published in 1857. While he was in Boston lecturing in 1855, his one venture outside of the South, he met abolitionist Harriet Beecher Stowe and Wendell Phillips, and actually had dinner and conversation with them. Would have been an interesting evening. Now, while other Southerners defended slavery on grounds of the original constitutional compromise, about which we spoke when we talked about the Constitution as a political document, Fitzhugh's argument went beyond this. His sociological arguments were more radical. He bought into scientific arguments of the day that blacks were inferior intellectually to whites, but that's not what he rested his arguments on. For answers to the problems posed by slavery, or the supposed problems posed by slavery, he looked backwards, not forwards. He didn't look backward to the founding of the American Republic. He didn't look back to the founding of the colonies. He looked back before the Glorious Revolution and before the Enlightenment. He utterly rejected the notion of man as a progressive being. He utterly rejected the philosophy of liberalism. Now, like Brownson, Fitzhugh's point of departure, analytically, was the economic base of life. He focused on the material. And again, as we looked at with Brownson, this is distinctly sort of Marxist, or it comes to be known as Marxist, because what is crucial are the material conditions in which people live. Societies, he argued, are and will always be grounded in class distinctions. These class distinctions are based on property. Throwing Negro slaves out of account, and society is divided in Christendom into four classes: the rich or independent respectable people who live well and labor not at all, the professional and skillful respectable people who do a little light work for enormous wages, the poor hard-working people who support everybody and starve themselves, and the poor thieves, swindlers, and sturdy beggars who live like gentlemen without labor. on the labor of other people.